Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 42 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today is Friday, May 18th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. It was a bad year for the sacro herring fishery down in Seymour Canal. Fishery managers say all the gillnetters left the grounds off Admiralty Island by last weekend. They never fished. The fleet had waited for nearly 3 weeks, but the herring never congregated in large enough schools to have an opening. Dave Harris is Fish and Game's assistant area management biologist in Juneau.
No aggregate of fish were ever, in one place at any good enough time to provide a fishing opportunity. So the spawn appears to be over. The spawn event appears to be over. All fishermen have left the grounds.
As of early this week, the state hadn't officially canceled the season. Harris expected the department would make an announcement after flying the grounds at least once more. He said the department didn't observe any fish along the beach or spawn during a flyover on Monday. Fishermen target the herring for their roe, so the department tries to open herring fisheries just before the major spawn, when the females are the ripest, with eggs and large schools of fish mass near the beach. The amount of spawn in the water indicates population size. Throughout the waiting time, Harris says managers observed a total of nearly 7 miles of spawn, which isn't bad.
It's less than we anticipated, but it's still, a reasonably healthy enough amount of spawn that would have supported a fishery. But the way the fish behaved this year was what was strange. Normally, they aggregate in large schools, kind of break up and move along the beach, and then at some point, they all kind of spawn and then dissipate. But this year, the large schools were kind of coming and going, broke up into smaller schools, and then those would go to the beach and spawn sort of independently. So we had numerous days of small, light spawn events that just didn't lend themselves to the fishery.
The expectation of low prices resulted in a small turnout for the fishery this year at Seymour. Only about 20 boats were registered to fish. It's been a disappointing year all around for the herring sacro fisheries in Southeast. The Sitka seine quota was the biggest ever, but the fleet caught less than half of it. Also this spring, the department canceled the West Beam Canal fishery near Ketchikan because there was never a large enough buildup of mature herring in the area open for commercial fishing. The Togiak herring fishery in Bristol Bay is also struggling, though it's too early to tell whether it's just a slow start or a bust. The 25,000-ton harvest limit is split between seiners and gillnetters. So far, the two fleets have landed only 2,000 tons. KDLG's Mike Mason has the story.
The Togiak herring fishery opened Monday night, but thus far the total harvest is quite small. The gillnetters have not reported any harvest, and the purse seine fleet has only harvested just over 2.3 thousand tons of herring. On Wednesday and Thursday, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game issued emergency orders changing the area open for the gillnet fleet to use due to strong winds that are expected to continue through Saturday. Tim Sands is the area management biologist, and he says the low harvest thus far is due in part to the weather and herring that are not yet of commercial quality.
There's definitely mature seine fish, but the gillnet fish weren't mature, at least in the traditional area by Kaluka, when they were able to test them. And I got reports of some tests that happened yesterday when the wind laid down for a little bit, but they weren't mature then either.
The gillnet fleet is allowed to fish uninterrupted until further notice, while the purse seine fishery is currently scheduled to close Friday night at 10. Sand says the weather is not ideal for either fishermen or the fish.
When it's this windy, we don't necessarily think the herring are spawning. We think they're holding off too, because you can imagine a surf on the beach, and that's kind of where the herring go to spawn, and they don't want to be in there when there's big waves coming on the beach. It just doesn't, it's not productive for them either. So
the quota of herring available in the Togiak sacro herring fishery is over 24,000 tons, and so far just 2.3 thousand tons of herring have been harvested. There are apparently 16 or 17 seine vessels participating this year, and Sands personally counted 13 gillnetters during an observation flight Tuesday. Sands admits to concerns that the herring might spawn out before the quota can be caught or even approached.
Because instead of, the capacity that we have is enough to, it would take 10 days to process the whole quota, 10 or 11 days even. So it's always been a concern that the fish won't hang on for 11 days and be of the quality that the processors want to take them. That's just further complicated when there's storms like this, or with, you know, on the gillnet side, it seems like the herring still weren't mature yet. But on the seine side, they certainly were mature because they were taking fish on day one, and obviously there was quite a bit of spawn. So, you know, it's hard to tell how it's going to play out, but we're just going to hope for the best and see what happens.
There are other complicating factors that could impact the Togiak herring fishery, including that the 24.7 thousand ton quota is broken out, with the purse seine fleet getting 70%, the gillnetters getting 30%. If the gillnet fleet can't harvest fish, that might mean that the purse seine fleet could be restricted in some manner. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
The state-regulated company that collects garbage in Juneau will start offering curbside recycling next month. Arrow Refuse plans to pick up commingled materials, including paper, cardboard, metal cans, and plastics, but not glass. Customers can opt in to the service for $3.11 a month. Many Juneau residents have long clamored for curbside recycling, but not everyone is convinced that Arrow Refuse's service is right for the community. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
If you want to recycle in Juneau right now, you have to go to the recycling center at the landfill. Every day, about 1,300 cars pass through the facility as residents separate their recyclables and ditch them in giant dumpsters. Middle school teacher Jay Watts says it's part of his weekly routine.
I bring mostly aluminum, some glass bottles, cardboard, paper, tin cans.
Watts says he would prefer the convenience of curbside recycling and plans to take a look at Arrow Refuse's new service as soon as it's available. He thinks other Juneau residents will do the same.
I've heard that there's less than 10% of the people in Juneau that recycle, so we could raise that percentage.
Like many Alaska communities, Juneau has limited landfill space. The current facility is likely to reach capacity in 23 years if residents continue to dump trash in it at the present rate. Arrow Refuse owns the state certificate to provide garbage collection in the capital city. The company has a contract with landfill operator Waste Management that covers its tipping fee, or the amount it pays to dispose of trash at the dump. Arrow General Manager Jeff Riley says extending the life of the landfill is the biggest reason the company is offering curbside recycling.
Not until that landfill was full would people completely appreciate how much the cost would increase to getting rid of their garbage.
Riley claims Arrow won't make any money, at least initially, doing curbside recycling. That's despite a monthly fee of $3.11. The service includes a 96-gallon roll cart container and twice-a-month pickup. Beyond that, he says the company just hopes to cover shipping costs. But the market for recyclable materials is likely to make that difficult.
Right now, the commodity values have continued to decline while the shipping costs have continued to increase. So this add-on is simply just to account for the volatility of the market and the risk that we're taking on there.
Arrow will still take recyclables to the facility at the landfill, but the materials won't be separated as they are now. Instead, they'll be baled together and shipped to the lower 48, where they'll be sorted and sold on the recyclables market. Juneau resident and longtime recycling advocate Nancy Waterman is concerned the plan won't pencil out. Right now, she says separated materials can be worth more than twice as much as commingled, and the difference is growing.
Many Juneau people have been working diligently to get to the point of being able to have a curbside pickup system. But I'm still wondering whether co-mingled, baled material is the right way to ship our material back south.
The City and Borough of Juneau is currently in negotiations with Waste Management to expand the separated recycling center at the landfill to make it easier for customers to recycle more materials. Waterman says she's happy to hear that it will stay open. She does think the curbside program will increase recycling in the capital city, but she urges customers to consider all their options before signing up.
I think a consumer can make a big difference, and so taking a little time to make a decision is a good idea.
Aero Refuse's curbside recycling service comes as the company is about to roll out an automated garbage pickup service throughout most of Juneau. The state of Alaska regulates how much the company can charge for garbage collection, but has no control over the cost of curbside recycling. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
U.S. Senator Mark Begich wants the federal government to provide at least $45 million to clean up debris that will land on U.S. shores from last year's tsunami in Japan. In a letter to the president, the Alaska Democrat says the money should go to community groups to conduct cleanup work. Begich says he's disappointed by a lack of an administration-wide plan to respond. While the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has been tracking the problem, Begich says it has limited resources and cannot alone be expected to handle what he calls a monumental crisis. Begich says the debris that's already washed ashore in Alaska is just the beginning of what he calls a slow-motion environmental disaster that will unfold over the next several years. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski is proposing to have the environmental and economic impacts of genetically modified fish studied before the fish are approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Murkowski's office says the analysis by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration would be in line with the review and standards in place currently for federal fisheries. It would be required before an FDA decision. Her office says the FDA is looking at any scientific and biological risks associated with genetically modified salmon. Senator Mark Begich also has signed on to the proposal. And drivers in Alaska's largest city will be sharing the road with cyclists today. It's National Bike to Work Day, and more than 100 teams of riders have registered to participate in Anchorage. The city is setting up 11 treat stations to hand out snacks. In Sitka, there's a free pancake breakfast for bike commuters at UAS until 9 a.m. this morning. Zone weather forecast today, mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers, highs around 49. This is KCAW in Sitka.